Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we're going to continue our discussion about whether a state-run New Mexico Science Museum coordinated with atheist groups for their 2014 Darwin Day celebration, and then they tried to cover it up. We have on the show with us today, once again, Mike Edinburn, who earned a master's degree in engineering and worked as an engineer for 35 years on many different types of projects, including energy-related projects, space power-related projects, energy policy analysis, as well as projects related to national security. He's retired now, and he got concerned about the events that were taking place at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science when he found out that they were co-sponsoring their 2014 Darwin Day celebration with some atheist skeptics groups for the purpose of promoting anti-religious lectures. In the previous podcast interview, we discussed with Mr. Edinburn how he attended the 2014 Darwin Day lectures and heard anti-religious content. So, Mr. Edinburn, thanks for coming back on the show with us today.
Well, it's great to be back, Casey.
So, these lectures delivered as promised. They attacked religion just as the flyers predicted that they would. You attended these lectures, and afterwards, you and your colleague Jim Campbell wrote a letter to the governor of New Mexico expressing your concerns about what had happened. What did your letter say?
Let's go back just a little bit here. On the day that Jim Campbell received the flyer from the student saying that the museum and these organizations were sponsoring the events, he wrote a letter. It was an electronic letter to the governor calling her attention to the Darwin Day program and to the talks that, by their titles, were promising to denigrate religion. And what he asked is that they seriously consider asking the museum to cancel any talks that were appropriate. That was before the event. The event went on as planned. But in the meantime, the Secretary of Cultural Affairs in New Mexico sent Jim a letter in reply to his letter to the governor saying the museum's sponsorship of those talks on Wednesday night was a misunderstanding, that the museum was not sponsoring those talks. It was simply the New Mexicans for Science and Reason who were sponsoring the talk, and that the museum was not the sponsor and really didn't have anything to do with that meeting.
So it was all just a big misunderstanding. The fact that the museum was distributing these flyers that expressly said that they were co-sponsoring these Darwin Day events on both Sunday, February 9th and Wednesday, February 12th, that they were co-sponsoring them with these atheist skeptics groups, that was all just a big misunderstanding then, right?
Right, but they had been displaying these flyers at the museum. There was still a flyer posted on the bulletin board during the Wednesday night talks, and the museum had advertised the Wednesday night talks on their website. So we didn't quite believe what we were told about this being all a big misunderstanding. And so the next day, we filed an inspection of public records request. New Mexico has a law about inspection of public records, and we asked to inspect all of the records pertaining to the museum's participation in the Darwin Day event. And so 2 or 3 weeks later, Jim Campbell and I went up to Santa Fe and spent the better part of a day going over the records, which were emails that were in different museum employees' files pertaining to Darwin Day and the program that they were putting on.
Were your suspicions confirmed after you saw the public documents that revealed what happened in the planning leading up to the events? What did these documents reveal?
Yeah, the documents certainly confirmed our suspicions. There was a lot of participation from the Humanist Society and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The committee that selected the talks for Darwin Day consisted of both museum staff and volunteers. A lot of those volunteers were members of the Humanist Association and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they were actively participating in selecting the talks. We also found out that, well, we requested information on the room use. Had the New Mexicans for Science and Reason requested to use the room, they were not able to provide us with any documentation that the New Mexicans for Science and Reason had requested the room, at least not for 2 or 3 years before the time. As a matter of fact, there was an email that said, oh, and this was after Jim had filed his complaint with the governor. They said, oh, maybe we ought to get the New Mexicans for Science and Reason to make a request to use the room.
So, Mr. Edinburn, you're saying that you specifically requested documentation of a room rental for New Mexicans for Science and Reason, and they didn't give you anything.
Yes, the original request included any kind of room rental and that sort of thing. And when we didn't see it in the documents that we inspected, we verbally requested that they give us anything that they had. That's when they gave us a document that was about 3 years old that was very out of date. We also requested that they give us any kind of documents that showed that the New Mexicans for Science and Reason had paid for the room. I mean, you know, there have to be financial records if that's what happened. And we have not gotten any documentation from that time that the New Mexican for Science and Reason paid to use the room on that night.
Well, that's very significant, Mr. Edinburn, because your public records request was designed to find any evidence of a room rental between New Mexicans for Science and Reason and the museum. And the fact that there wasn't anything that was produced is completely consistent with your view, and I think it's a correct view, that this was not a case where an outside organization was renting a room from the museum. You would not expect to find a room rental agreement or any evidence of a financial transaction paying for the room if, in fact, this was an event where the museum was co-sponsoring the event with these other groups. You wouldn't expect to find the financial transaction or the room rental. So I think this is very significant that there's no evidence of a room rental agreement. And then the fact that they scrambled, and this was revealed in the public documents received, they scrambled after Jim Campbell sent his letter to try to draw up a room contract. That shows, I think, a cover-up and that the museum suddenly wanted to produce a contract to make it look like it had been a room rental when that was not what had been in their minds up to that point. That shows, I think, a cover-up. That's very significant in my mind.
I think that's right. And not only that, but a few days before, their website had been advertising those meetings on Wednesday night. But after Jim made his request, those advertisements, the promotion of the Wednesday night talks, disappeared from the museum's website.
Yes, that's right. So clearly there was evidence that they they wanted to scrub the fact that the museum was promoting these events.
Yes, I think that the documents that we have showed that the museum itself was indeed sponsoring by museum staff participating in the program selection. Of course, they are paid employees of the state of New Mexico. And yes, clearly there was evidence that the museum was an active participant and a sponsor of the talks that denigrated religion on Wednesday night.
Well, and actually, I think it goes beyond that, Mr. Edinburn. One of the things that I found really interesting from the documents that you guys received was the fact that in the earliest stages of planning, this was like in October of 2013, the museum appointed one of its head volunteers, a gentleman named Jim Peevler, to oversee the planning of the 2014 Darwin Day events. And in his very first planning email that you guys received, he sent out an email to local atheist humanist groups requesting what he called pro-rational thinkers to be involved in the 2014 Darwin Day events. The group that he actually sent the email to at that time was, I believe, the New Mexico Humanist Association. So essentially, they actively and explicitly solicited atheist groups to be involved in their 2014 Darwin Day events. It wasn't just like these guys came on board. This is what the museum went looking for. They then found these atheist groups. Then all throughout the planning process, they co-planned the 2014 Darwin Day event with these atheist groups. They then helped promote the atheist groups and the lectures that some of their members were putting on. And then only after a local citizen caught wind of this did they suddenly start to remove evidence of that co-sponsorship and try to make it look like the room was being rented by the organization for private event. Essentially, that's what I see going on here.
You know, Casey, I think you're exactly right on that. And I might add that at the same time, we have a very active, intelligent design organization going in Albuquerque. If they had wanted to get a different point of view, they could easily have contacted our group and had a talk on the problems with Darwinian evolution. But we didn't know anything about it until we got the flyer just a few days before the event itself.
Well, that's very interesting, Mr. Edinburn. And I think there's really two issues at stake here in this situation. One is the issue of viewpoint discrimination. That doesn't have so much to do with religion. It has to do with whether the government can sort of prefer one viewpoint while excluding another. Essentially, this has to do with cases where the government has perhaps rented their facilities out to the public for private events, and they only invite or allow one viewpoint to be represented and other viewpoints are excluded. And I think that arguably you could potentially have a viewpoint discrimination case here when you see the government actively soliciting only atheistic pro-evolution views and not soliciting any other views for this kind of an event. You might have viewpoint discrimination. Another situation, though, obviously is religious neutrality, where the government is explicitly inviting and then I would say endorsing these atheistic and anti-religious views. There you got problems with not just the free speech clause of the First Amendment, but the establishment clause of the First Amendment, where they're violating religious neutrality. So how could the government have done better? Well, if they had invited groups like IDNet to give, say, a scientific view that disagrees with Darwinian evolution, then I think they really could have alleviated the viewpoint discrimination problem. Obviously, IDNet being a scientifically oriented group, that's not going to help so much for the religious neutrality, but they could have fixed the religious neutrality issue easily as well if they had invited perhaps religious perspectives on evolution. They are welcome to invite these atheist groups to talk about evolution, but maybe they could have invited religious groups to give their views on evolution. There's lots of things that this government entity could have done to not have such a one-sided pro-Darwin atheistic slant on their Darwin Day events, and instead they solicited only pro-evolution skeptic atheist groups to be involved. And I think this poses some potential real issues here. So I guess one of the questions I have here, I don't want to get into lawsuit contingencies and that kind of stuff, but what is your end goal? What would you like to see happen in future Darwin Day events? What are you guys trying to accomplish here in New Mexico?
Well, Casey, you're exactly right. They should have opened up discussion since they were including atheistic views to other points of view. And what we would like to see happen is just exactly that for future Darwin Day events. We'd like for the museum to include talks that may be contrary to the common view of Darwinian evolution. We might even like to see talks about science and religion. And the general conception is that science and religion are at war. We don't believe that's true. We have people who can talk about the history of how religion and science have interacted over time. So there were plenty of opportunities they had to invite groups that could have given different points of view on the same topics that they discussed during their Darwin days. And that's exactly what we're hoping they will do, is that they will be including talks with different points of view in the future. And I think you're right. I think if they don't include those, they will be guilty of viewpoint discrimination. And also, as it stands right now, using a government institution to promote atheism. And that needs to change in the future.
Right now, there's some strong arguments here that they're guilty of viewpoint discrimination and a violation of the First Amendment's Establishment Clause as well, religious neutrality. However, I think that the way that they respond to your inquiries right now will really determine whether there's sort of an open-shut viewpoint discrimination case here, and also a very strong case that they violated the Establishment Clause and were not religiously neutral. So it will be interesting to see how they respond to your inquiries, Mr. Edinburn. I think it's going to determine whether Darwin Day events in the future are going to reflect different viewpoints that will really educate the public about different views on this issue rather than indoctrinating them in just one single view, the pro-evolution atheist view. So one last thing, just to make this absolutely clear, you are not saying that if the museum wants to do future Darwin Day events that they can't invite pro-evolution views, that they shouldn't invite even folks with certain views that go against conventional religious views. You're just saying if they're going to put on Darwin Day events and do this, they need to have it not be totally one-sided. Is that what you're saying?
Casey, that's exactly right. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we do not want them to do is cancel future Darwin Day events. We think they ought to have talks about Darwinism. But of course, those Darwinism talks ought to include at least some talks that give a different view about Darwinism and some of the problems that it has explaining the life that we see on Earth today. So that's exactly what they ought to do. And about the legal issue, right now as it stands, they have promoted an atheistic point of view, and legally they are required to be neutral with respect to religion. But now, if in the future they refuse to put in talks with different points of view, that may be a much more difficult thing for them to survive.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we'll have to just wait and see how they respond to your inquiries and your request that more views be included in future Darwin Day events. So thank you very much for your time, Mr. Edinburn, and thank you also for standing up against viewpoint discrimination and religious establishment in your state by the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science.
Well, Casey, thank you very much for inviting us to participate on your program. And I'd just like to encourage people around the country to keep an eye on what museums are doing for Darwin Day. And if something similar happens where they promote atheistic ideas or even viewpoint discrimination, people need to take action against this sort of thing if we really want it to stop.
Good words, Mr. Edinburn. And if you don't want state-run, taxpayer-funded science museums partnering with atheist groups to bash religious faith during Darwin Day celebrations, there's something you can do right now to assist their efforts by contacting the museum and making your voice heard. You can email Charles Walter, the executive director of the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, at charles.walter@state.nm.us. That's charles.walter@state.nm.us. Or you can call the museum's customer service line at 505-841-2869. That's 505-841-2869. Express your concerns about the State Museum's endorsement of anti-religious lectures, viewpoint discrimination, and preferential treatment of atheism during its 2014 Darwin Day events. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.